just want to read one verse to you. Psalms 116 and verse 15. I intend to continue what I've started to practice a couple of weeks ago, to go 20 minutes or so. So that's what we'll try to do tonight, okay? Psalms chapter 116 and one verse. Verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Now that's worth repeating, isn't it? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. I don't know of a subject that I could talk about or we could talk about in private with one another that would cause us most of the time to recoil as we think about it, is this subject of death and dying. There's no doubt in our minds that it will be well with a saint when he comes down to die. In that hour, the Lord will give him dying grace. Some will need more and some will need less. But it will be well with the righteous at his death. We know that. Death may be somewhat difficult to face for some saints, and it has been, but it will be well with the saint at his death. There's aspects of dying and death that causes us to recoil, and let me give you just about four things right quickly. First of all, death is unnatural. Death is very unnatural. Somewhere at conception, somewhere in our mother's womb, you and I were joined together, body and spirit. We come into this world that way and we live that way, body and spirit, body and soul. Death separates those two. And you and I know nothing apart from that. And to be laying on a bed or in a car somewhere when the body leaves the soul, that's one of the most unnatural things that you and I can begin to think about. A separation of the body and the soul. Isn't that drastic? That makes us recoil, doesn't it? What will that be? Secondly, we recoil at death because it can be attended with great physical pain. Man, how many people have we seen in the hospital? How many loved ones have you and I watched die? And they almost become repulsive in their own eyes and in the eyes of those who take care of them. You've seen it and I've seen it. Utter dependence upon someone else in every aspect of their life. To do for them now what just a short time earlier they would have been humiliated to think that you would do for them. We recoil at that, don't we? Death and dying. What will happen to us? What will happen to our flesh and our being as we die? Death will sever every earthly union and bid farewell to the most beloved relationships that we have. We have wives, we have husbands. Death will sever that. We have families, we have children, we have dads and moms. Death will sever that. All the associations that we have in this lifetime are temporal. When we go out through the door of death, all of those relationships will cease. And fourthly, we think of this. Death is the door by which we enter eternity. Well, that's sobering, isn't it? All we know here is temporal. Everything is fading. Even the joys of this earth is faded. Everything we see, everything we handle is passing away. We're entering a lifetime that we know nothing hardly about except what little we find from the Word of God. But it's an eternal home. The door of death will usher us out into eternity. We read a little bit about it in the Word of God. We seem to feel something about the powers of the world to come, the sweetness of it in our soul, but we know so little about it. And we just know enough sometimes that we recoil. Yet beyond these four things, there's another side of death that our text tells us about here that you and I must consider. We desire to consider. Our text said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. If death causes you to recoil, then it's totally opposite in the eyes of our Lord. There is nothing in the death of the saint that causes our Lord any concern, or any anxiety, or any disappointment, but contrarywise, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saint. And the word there means highly valuable. It means of great worth, esteem, weighty, dear. We find this word used several places in the Scripture. Let me give you just three where this word precious is used. It's used in Psalm chapter 49 in verse 8, and it says the redemption of the soul is precious. The redemption of the soul is precious. It ceaseth forever. The soul itself that's redeemed is a precious soul, isn't it? The Lord Jesus taught us how to value the soul. How much value did He put upon the soul? He said, if a man should gain the whole world and lose his soul, if there's some way that you could gain all of the world and all the possession of this world and lose your soul, then you've lost everything. If a man loses his soul, he's lost everything, hasn't he? He's lost himself. The soul is the most valuable thing between the eternities in this earth. The soul is valuable. The redemption of that soul, therefore, must be valuable. What is it that redeems the soul? Well, listen to this. You weren't redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. How precious is the redemption of the soul? It's His blood. How precious is His blood? Secondly, the Scriptures not only tells us that the redemption, the price of the soul's redemption is precious, but the Scripture tells us that Christ Himself is precious. He's disallowed indeed of men, but He's chosen of God, and He's precious. He's God's dear Son. In God's eyes, He's precious. Isn't it strange that what God counts most precious, the world despises? The world disallows Him, and God looks upon Him and says, this is My beloved Son. He's precious to Me. And I tell you something else, He's precious to you if you believe on Him. To you which believe on Him, He's precious. If He's redeemed you, He's precious to you. And then we have those precious promises. Peter said, the Lord has given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Precious promises. Great promises. That only God can give. God's a great promiser, ain't He? And the reason He makes us great promises, because only He can fulfill the promises that He makes. Listen to this. I will go with you always, even to the end of the world. How much does that mean? That means something, don't it? I go to prepare a place for you. That's My promise. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto Myself. What a precious promise that is. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. How important is that promise? How often have you taken that precious promise to Him and say, Lord, You promised. You promised. He loves it when we bring, Spurgeon said, when we bring a check down and lay it and write it out to Him. He said, write out the biggest check you have, because He can cash it. Precious promise. precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. In our own eyes, we may recoil at death. And we may be saddened when a dear brother or sister in Christ dies. But listen to this. It's not so in His eyes. In His eyes, the death of the saints is precious. How precious? Precious as His blood. Precious as Christ Himself. Precious as the promises that He gives. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of His saints. Whose death is precious in the Lord's eyes? Not everybody. Not everybody. He'll take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, will He? No. The saint. Not only the saint, but look here how personal He makes it. Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of His saints. His saints. They are His special people. They're the ones that He's called out. They're the ones that He suffered great pain just to redeem them and to cleanse them. His saints, His friends, His sons, and His daughters. My soul, He wrote their names down in the Lamb Book of Life, didn't He? They're His. They're His. They're His by virtue of a great price that only He can afford. There's nothing about them in their own selves. That's theirs. You're not your own. Nothing you have is yours. Nothing that you possess. Your time, your thoughts. Whatever you have, dear child of God, you've been purchased, lot, stock, and barrel. You're His. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Oh, the death of the saints, therefore, are precious in His sight because they're His. They're His. Somebody may give you something to watch over and keep for them, and you won't keep much of an eye on it. But I'm telling you, you let you have something that it's yours and that you got it at a great cost and labor to yourself. It'll mean something then, won't it? These are His saints. They're His. And think of this. The death of His saints take place in the very sight of their Lord. Precious is the death of the saints in His sight. He's watching. He's looking on. We don't keep an eye on something that's trifling to us, do we? You can turn your eyes away from something that you're not interested in. But let there be an object that you love, that is precious in your heart. What do? You keep an eye on it, don't you? How many times have we heard someone famous, they've died? And for us to know how precious they were and esteemed they were to the family, the article goes on to say that they died with their family looking on. That means something, doesn't it? What does it mean then, brothers and sisters, for a person to die with heaven looking on? The eyes of the Lord looking on. How much is the death of the saint esteemed in the eyes of heaven? Heaven's Lord is looking on. He's looking on. If you had a dear child dying, would you sit while your child was dying? Where would you be if your precious child was dying? You'd be standing over him, wouldn't you? Your eyes would be fixed on that precious child. That's what this prophet is saying. That's how precious the death of the saint is in the eyes of the Lord. Do you and I think the Lord Jesus standing at the death of Stephen was the exception? I bet it's the rule. I bet it's the rule. I bet you every saint that dies, Jesus Christ the Lord is standing watching the death of that saint. And think of this, the death of the saint is precious in his eyes because it's after their death and in their death, while they're dying, that the Lord will become more indispensable than ever to his saint. When will he be glorified in them more than anywhere else? As far as them honoring him in their dying hour. It's there that they will trust him. It's there that they will feel in their souls that he is absolutely more indispensable than he's been anywhere else in their lifetime. Now we mistrust our place, don't we? We mistrust. We put our trust in some flesh. We misplace our trust. Don't we do that sometimes? Don't we trust to the arm of flesh sometimes? You know something, brothers and sisters? Death will strip us of all of that. When our father and our mother and our friends stand back and they can't help us at all, and we don't have anybody to trust but our God, and we cast our soul upon Him, and then and there is where He will be more glorified. That's why His eyes are upon His saints. That's why He says it's precious, because He looks and says, look how they're trusting me now. Look how they feel about me now. I'm indispensable now. One man said, perfect dependence, simple and absolute trust upon Him that's able to keep that which we've committed to Him against that day. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints in His sight. And lastly, think of this. The death of the saint is precious in His sight for this reason. There are precious things that Christ cannot show His people except after death. So many, many things that He cannot show us here until we go through that door and enter eternity. He was writing to the Ephesian church and he said, be thou faithful unto death. And what then? I will give thee a crown of life. A crown of life is not for this life, is it? A crown indicates reign. When you crown somebody, they reign, don't they? The Scriptures indicates that when the saint dies, they will reign. What do we reign over here, brothers and sisters? Nothing, do we? Do we reign over anything absolutely? What reigns over us here? Just about everything, doesn't it? Our infirmities reign over us. They bring us down. We have to submit to them. We go to the doctor to get help. We take medicine. Sin, in so many senses, reigns over us here. Can you get rid of it? Can you do anything without it? Sometimes guilt brings us low. Our circumstances reign over us. What will reign over the saints yonder? Nothing. There they'll be crowned. What will it be to leave this life with all the infirmities that we've known, submitting ourselves to everything around us, under bondage to almost everything, and as soon as we take our last breath, the Lord Jesus says, here's a crown. Reign with me. What will that mean? Can you imagine it? I can't even begin to imagine. Perfect holiness without any shadow of sin. Can you imagine that? No sin to molest the thoughts. Can you imagine that? The reign of joy. A reign of joy without any mixture of sadness. At thy right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. In his presence is fullness of joy. That we can't experience here, can we? But yonder we'll reign in joy. I wonder what that passage in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17 means. I've often thought of it. When the Lord says, I will give you a crown of life. They shall reign in life. They shall reign in life. That'll take place yonder. Now death reigns over us. It's nipping at our heels. But yonder they shall reign in life. What does that mean? It surely has something to do with sin and death that came to us through Adam. It will be eternally annihilated. There will be life without a shadow of death. And those things that come to us through Adam's sin, things like sorrow, and tears, and pain, and dying. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Don't just have a tendency to take the bitterness away from it. The way you look at death, dear child of God, for yourself. But you have to consider it in this light. How your death will appear in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has redeemed you. And these things aren't for this side of death, but they're for the other side. Therefore, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. For there, and there only, they will experience those things that he's got laid up for them. They're in heaven. Salvation's a marvelous thing. Right now and right here, it's a marvelous thing. Because what it does, it takes us from the sorrows of pain and death and hell and immediately looses us and gives us a good hope in our death. Oh, salvation's a wonderful thing. Look what he said here in this chapter that I read to you, Psalms 116. The writer here was filling it. In verse 3, the sorrows of death compassed me. Oh, he's filling it in his conscience, maybe in his body. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble. I found sorrow. Then called I upon the Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And he said, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, he's merciful. And then he goes all the way over to verse 16 and he says, with great confidence, O Lord, truly, I am your servant. I am your servant and the son of your handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. What does Christ the Savior do for us? He looses these bonds, doesn't he? The bonds of sin and guilt and the curse of God's law and the fear of death. He looses us. And then we cry out, oh, I'm yours. I'm yours. Poor soul, if you're here tonight and the Lord's calling you, then call upon him. Look to Jesus and live. Look and live. Never to die again. Look to him and live. Bring your weary soul to him and lay it down upon him and his accomplished redemption. Come and lay yourself down and rest upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Then and only then will the pains of death and hell be loosed from your poor conscience. Unto him shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Lord, bless his message. Let's pray.